Time now for another edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. Last week, Bentonville Research Institute Heartland Forward released a new study examining the inequality of opportunity in America's heartland. On today's program, we'll get some insight into that research from one of the authors, Heartland Forward's president and CEO, Ross Duvall. But first, though, news of a leadership change in the C-suite at Tyson Foods. The company announced that President Dean Banks, a former Silicon Valley tech executive, will add the title of CEO at Tyson Foods. That news was released alongside the company's third quarter earnings report before the markets opened on Monday. Banks will replace 37-year company veteran Noel White in October. White has been CEO for the past 2 years. Banks previously worked for Google parent Alphabet Inc.'s experimental research division. He joined Tyson's board in 2017 and became president in December 2019. Chairman John Tyson said Banks will help the company integrate more technology into its operations and focus on employee health. Tyson's quarterly sales fell about 8% to $10.02 billion. The company said it spent $340 million on COVID-19 testing, personal protective equipment, and other direct costs related to the disease. After the break, we'll speak with Heartland Forward President and CEO Ross Duvall.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. ArkansasStateChamber.com. Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For more than 70 years, Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield has used its knowledge and compassion to create healthcare solutions for individuals and businesses. More information at ArkansasBlueCross.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. First Security, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Opportunity in the United States is not distributed equally, and residents in the nation's heartland know that all too well. That is a key finding of new research published last week by Bentonville think and do tank Heartland Forward. Using data from Harvard University's nonprofit Opportunity Insights, the research report explores the decline in economic mobility across the heartland over the past several decades and analyzes the factors that do and do not influence economic opportunity. The report uses county-level data that tracks 20 million Americans from childhood to adulthood, and the report finds that the Heartland region is home to some of the nation's largest disparities in economic opportunity. Opportunity gaps have always been a challenge, but Duvall says for a number of reasons, there is a renewed spotlight on those discrepancies.
We have seen that COVID-19 has impacted communities of color along multiple dimensions. One, many can't work remotely. They're frontline service workers, retail, and they need to report to work to be able to work. And so we've seen them disproportionately affected by the economic fallout from COVID-19. Secondly, we've also seen that those same communities have been more affected by the pandemic itself. The rate of infections are much higher, and the severity of the cases are much worse. And in the case of African Americans, you have somewhere between 5 to 6 times the death rate from COVID-19.
You mentioned working remotely, which has been the big discussion topic for the past several months. Let's talk about that. Upward mobility, economic mobility, the ability to move around. Define economic mobility and what affects it and what doesn't.
Well, economic mobility, many would equate with the American dream, to some extent, is that you hope to be better off than your parents were at the similar stage in their life. And basically, since about 1940, we've gone from about 90% of children who come from low-income families that ultimately have higher earnings than their parents by age 35. Today, that has fallen to only 50% of children born into the bottom 25% of wage earners in the country make more than their parents did. So in some sense, the American dream is being diminished. There's a whole series of reasons for that. Part of it is you've had higher returns to investment in education, and the upper 10% is earning more, so everybody else gets less. So its impact is the impact of investing in human capital and the skills that are required. But clearly you see in both rural areas and inner city areas, poor performing schools, those children that attended poor performing schools are impacted throughout their careers. There's a whole series of socioeconomic factors interrelated, like teen birth rates, crime rates, so the whole social circumstances, and many other factors. But one of the things as a regional economist that struck me most, and it was most troubling about this research, was that even in places in the heartland, say Austin, Nashville, Dallas, Minneapolis, was that despite those regional metropolitan economies performing very well, children from lower income households, mostly minorities, simply did not share in that broad prosperity. And I find that very troubling.
So what is the best sort of action then to come from that troubling fact and just the analysis as a whole, specifically maybe even here in Arkansas? What are the conversations to have?
The conversations, one, are to improve K through 12 education and put the students first and some of the reforms that are necessary there. It's also about realizing that not everyone needs to go to a four-year institution to obtain a university degree. We used to call these vocational education. Today we might call them career technical education. And you can earn a good middle income wage by going into the trades, whether that's learning how to operate a laser guided machine tool, or whether that's plumbing or being a welder, that there are opportunities there. And then in higher education, looking at university four-year degree-granting institutions, we need to have more focus on students that show up that may not have had access to the strongest K-12 educations through remedial courses and intervening as early as possible to improve their chances of success. And then I think entrepreneurship is a big piece of the puzzle and having access to capital because you can bypass any lingering systemic racial inequalities in the workplace if you can start your own business. And I think that's an area of opportunity.
I find it interesting you used the puzzle, pieces of a puzzle, because for me, that's a big takeaway is how dependent we are on a lot of different puzzle pieces to collaborate, to enact these changes. And I know you're big on collaborations as well. And I think you say in closing in this report, you know, one organization, one policymaker, one community will not be able to do this alone. We have to come together. Are we in a collaborative environment that's receptive to this type of research to turn this analysis into action?
I remain hopeful. One of the challenges we do face is that we have a very contentious presidential election coming up that adds to the complexity. But I think in looking forward that we've had a common enemy. It's COVID-19. And I'm hopeful that it does bring us all together. It's really put a spotlight on these issues that we knew previously existed, but we didn't somehow have the social capital, the focus to address them. And I think it's clearly evident that if now's not the time, I don't know when there is the time.
And that is Ross Duvall with the Think and Do Tank Heartland Forward in Bentonville. You can find that full research report on our website at nwabusinessjournal.com. And finally today, don't forget we are accepting nominations for our final recognition program of the year, and that is the C-Suite Award. The C-Suite Awards honor C-level executives for their leadership, business, and civic contributions they have made to their organizations and their communities. Nominations can include business leaders from Northwest Arkansas and the Fort Smith Metro, and you can submit those at nwabusinessjournal.com. And that's our time today for this edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Until next time, I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.